Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to A Lost Plot, the movie podcast by storytellers, for storytellers, and movie fans in general. We're just here to learn about stories. We can understand stories better and tell better stories ourselves. As always, I'm your host, Maverick, and today we have on our guest for this podcast, our regular, our favorite, Avalon. Avalon, thanks for coming back.
Hello, hola, konnichiwa, and leho.
Today, we are going over a recent release out in the theaters. We weren't actually expecting to review this, and then on the cuff we said, why not give you guys a little gift of something recent? Why do we always have to do the classics and not do the recent stuff? No, today we're doing a recent stuff. Today we're doing the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, a 2024 action/war movie that is written by Paul Tomasi, Eric Johnson, and Arish Abel, directed by Guy Ritchie. It stars our very own Henry Cavill as Gus March Phillips, Alan Rickson as Anders Lassen, Alex Pettifer as Jeffrey Appleyard, Carrie Elwes as Brigadier Gubbins, and, you know, the whole lot of them. You know who they are if you look them up on IMDb, so we're not going to worry about that. What we are going to worry about is the basics of what the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is about.
So the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare takes place during, like, I guess the beginning part of World War II. It doesn't, I forget if it specifies year and date or not, but
it's before the U.S. is involved in the war. So that's some of the context, but I do believe it says specifically, I don't recall. Mm-hmm. Not a killer, but yeah.
Yeah, so essentially the Germans have their U-boats in the Atlantic sinking all ships crossing over from the U.S. So the U.S. is supplying the British and the Allies at the whatever the resistance to the Axis at the time. So they're supplying, giving them help in some ways. And the Germans are sinking the ships. So the British figure out that these U-boats are being supplied at one particular location. So they assemble a team of ex-convicts and potentially insane people to sneak into this location and take out the ship and the supplies that the Germans are using to supply the U-boats.
That's what we got. So, based on the 9-point rating system that we always use to rate these podcasts, Avalon, what did you give this movie?
This movie got a 3.85 from me. Now, that being said, I wasn't expecting this movie to get a huge lot of points from me just because story-wise, this movie isn't very strong, I guess. Like, it's based on a true story, but it's not like there's a lot. In my mind, there wasn't a whole lot of strong themes to it. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, strong character development either. It was just an action movie more along the lines of, like, Suicide Squad or Guardians of the Galaxy. It felt a little bit more like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a put together a team and take out the bad guys and complete the mission. Somewhat of a, you know, action movie, somewhat also a heist movie in some ways. So it's pretty classic in regards to those themes. But overall, yeah, I wasn't expecting a high rating. That being said, I recalled enjoying this movie fairly well when I walked out of the theater, and then when I went to review it, I realized that as much as I enjoyed it personally, it wasn't that amazing of a story. So I got pretty close to you. I got a 4.1. So yeah, we're not looking at high marks on this guy, but the question is why. So we'll get into that right now. Anyways, as always, you all want to know what happens at the beginning. Is the beginning something that grips you and goes, oh, I need to keep watching this? Avalon, what did you think?
I actually liked the opening, only because I'm not giving a whole lot of context for the two guys on the fishing boat, Henry Cavill's character and Appleyard. It's before we know they're on a mission, because it, like, starts off them on this boat. The Navy of the Nazis, like, they board their ship to, like, search it. Mm-hmm. And they, like, are being kind of rude to Appleyard and what's Cavill's character's name?
It's not Appleyard yet. It's Anders Lassen, the And Mark Phillips. I'm sorry.
It's Mark. Yeah, it's Phillips, and I'm
pretty
March
sure it's Phillips. Gus Appleyard.
But
Appleyard was the one who they saved from the island.
Oh, you're right. That's right. Not Appleyard. It's the other guy.
Anders Larsson, the bowman.
Yeah, the bowman. Yeah. But like, they're both pretending to be Swedish fishermen, and it's like they're being threatened, and they start laughing in the Nazis' faces because it's like you're gonna kill him first.
Yeah.
Like, they're making a whole joke out of it. So.
Yeah, and they pretend that they're drunk, and then when it looks like they're about to get killed by the Germans, they jump into action and take them all out. So it felt kind of in that way. I thought it felt like one of those, like, introductory superhero moments where they go, these are the characters, and they overcome the bad guys, and these are their powers, quote-unquote, or their ability to overcome evil. Is clearly established in this opening scene. That being said,
it's your classic like action hero action story opening where it's like we're given a clear presentation of their abilities.
Yeah,
and then the one guy comes out of the water. Like, clearly he put bombs or explosives on their big ship a few 100 yards away or whatever.
Yeah, and then it all goes kaboom. So it was It's good, but it also felt so... We've seen this so many times recently, and maybe that's why when I was thinking about this, I couldn't even think of the opening scene until you just mentioned it just now. I was sitting here
maybe
trying
to... Maybe it just stood out in my mind when he was insulting him, like, and they're pretending to be Swedish, and they're clearly, like, I don't know. It's like, this... I think they're laughing about it and everything. It's just, like, the whole attitude, the whole... during the whole situation was just kind of funny to me. So maybe that's why it stood out.
And it was funny. It gave you, like you said, Guardians of the Galaxy vibes on here that, oh, this is a fun crew of people getting together to accomplish a common good, right? So I get that impression, but for some reason it just didn't stick in my mind. So the opener didn't give me strong points, but they did a couple things well. I think that the humor is appropriate in this movie for the... characters, and it's not overdone, but it's naturally humorous. It's like a bunch of guys just you know, making jokes with each other and whatnot, that kind of humor, without going overboard and saying, oh, this isn't a serious moment either, when it wasn't necessary. So I appreciated that, and they start that right off the bat well with this opening scene. And then they introduce all the characters. They have their little, I'm putting together this team, and there's these people who are on the team, and they have this background, blah, 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 as they're describing who he wants on the team when they're doing that flashback of March Phillips creating the team. He's like, I want this guy, and this is his backstory. I want this guy, and his backstory is in explosives, and this guy, he's a strong-armed fighter, and blah, 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 right? So it felt very... It was very succinct, very quick to the point. It was fine. It established them as much as they needed to for the purposes of the story. Wasn't anything to write home about, though. So yeah. that was my impression.
Okay.
It's an opener, right? They have a chance to redeem themselves with the rest of the story, which is why we want to talk about the main character. What did you think of Gus March Phillips? And I should say to the audience before we go too much further is this is loosely based off of true events. So it was revealed in 2016, I believe, that there was a secret special operations unit that was going on at the in the middle of World War II that was under the control of Winston Churchill. And this was the story about that. That being said, everything that happens in the movie, I looked up afterwards, it doesn't really happen the way that they said it did, but
it does.
it's a very loose interpretation, but it is based off of generally on it. Anyways.
Yeah. Another thing about this movie, just to note, is that Ian Fleming, or the author of James Bond, he said that he was a part of the British like war effort at the time. He was inspired by the captain of this team for the creation of James Bond. Like, James Bond was inspired by the main person in this movie. So, supposedly.
Yeah, it was, I thought that was a fun fact when you realize that. I think it's at the end they reveal that. So that's pretty fun. Anyways, the main character that we're talking about, that was this inspiration, did you think that he was a compelling character, or did he have flaws that made him relatable, or a need that drove him in the story?
Well, he's definitely driven in some ways. It's like he's clearly got goals and he tries to accomplish them. He's a little reckless, definitely. I don't know if he's, like, flawed, like, compellingly flawed in some ways. But that being said, he is fun to watch. Like, he's one of those characters, like, he maybe doesn't grow as a character, but you do like his scenes in the movie. I did enjoy, like, watching him take things on, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I couldn't really pinpoint a flaw. He's just one of those, like, I don't know, set pieces you like to watch.
Yeah, he was, and I don't know if you relate to this, so you might want to maybe ping pong off of me on this one, but
yeah,
he seemed pretty much in control of himself the entire time. Very cool and collected, and there was almost a nonchalance about a lot of what he deals with in this movie. Mm-hmm. And that's established from the beginning, right? He's putting together the team and they're going, we need this mission. Otherwise we're going to lose this war. And he's there saying, oh, let me take 3 extra cigars and put them in my pocket. And let me take your finest scotch and drink it while you're telling me this mission. Right. And he seems like, oh, I don't really care, but yeah, I'm going to do this. Sure. That's kind of the vibe I got from him as he's sitting there being given these instructions and everyone else is freaking out. And he's like, oh, well, you know, whatever. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, he definitely has a nonchalance about him. I think maybe if you're going to put maybe his flaws, he's not good with authority. Like he kind of does his own thing. So maybe it's just like, he doesn't, he's kind of very independent and very like, I don't want to say rebellious, but like, I don't know. And I don't even know if you call that a flaw, but it's just like, it's one of those things. It's just like, he doesn't listen to authority very well, but, and one other thing is like these characters, like, even though it's not explicitly stated, they are, I mean, it is, but it's not shown. They're, they all have a gripe with the Nazis. Like they're not all like, I mean, some of them are in prison, but they all are, it's said they all have reasons to be against Germany. So,
okay,
it's not just that he's like, oh, I'm doing this because you told me, like, whatever. He's like, he does have a reason to fight against the Nazis and to do this mission. It's just not very... And maybe that's one of the problems with this movie. It doesn't go into the details of why these characters are fighting the Germans. Like, why are they on the British side, even though they were prisoners of the British for a time?
Mm-hmm. And that's a fair point, because I didn't even recall that they had that gripe with the Nazis. And that's true, that they did have at least a motive for being initially involved against them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they don't really develop it, so it's kind of hard to pinpoint that as, did they really care if it's not explored in any way in the story other than being given as a maybe symbolic gesture type of reason for why they're involved? Except for, let me just say, with some of the side characters, and that's not true. But with the main character, definitely. Speaking of the side characters... Did you think that they had their own motivations? I think some did, for sure.
Yeah, some. They're all different. They're all unique. I mean, they're all kind of. It doesn't. As I said, they don't explore their motivations very much for the most part. The only character who really gets like a motivation, like two side characters who get their motivation kind of explored, is Marjorie Stewart and Heron, I think. Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Like they're the only two who really get their motivations kind of explored, but that's because they're not even with the team. They're sent on ahead, like, to infiltrate the island and to, like, set things up for them before they arrive. Because they're already kind of, like, they've already kind of got their covers established already on the island. So, like, they're there to, like, they've been planning, they've been waiting a while for this moment. So...
Yeah. Yeah, and that's...
And in the
that's...
case of Marjorie Stewart, she's like, she's clearly has Jewish descent, and she has a thing against the Nazis for their treatment of Jews.
Yeah. Yeah, both of those characters, I would say, do have strong motivation, so there's a reason to have them on board. Everyone else on the team, pretty much the same as what you see with the main character. Stock against the Nazis. We do not like Nazis, and we were in prison, but now we're not, so... It those ones I had less reason to feel like they had a compelling reason, especially when things get questionable or tough. But definitely with Heron and Marjorie, you get a sense in which they're in this for the long haul, and there's a reason that they're fully invested in this war against the Nazis. So, you know, a mixed bag, I thought, but I thought that there was reason at least to consider them as characters and see, okay, there's something there. I think motive is also a significant factor in any story. What did you think about the motive in this story?
For the characters? Or what do you mean?
For the protagonist especially, but I mean, if the side characters you think are relevant as well.
Well, I mean, just thinking broadly about this, like clearly this mission, the idea is like, if they fail this mission, the US can't really do much more to help Britain and the other allies as they fight against the Axis. Mm-hmm. So like the future of the war and who's actually going to win is kind of dependent on their, how they succeed or not.
Right.
So, and I guess we are kind of skipping over another side character. I just realized, we're skipping over, Winston Churchill and his team in Britain, who are given several scenes.
Sure.
So, sure. Now I'm thinking about it, they do show Winston Churchill under fire, where it's like he's being pressured to surrender to Adolf Hitler and to like give Britain over to the Germans so that the like fighting can stop, so they can stop being assaulted by bombs every night. Right. And he's like, he's holding out because he knows what will happen if they surrender to the Germans. And he has a secret team going because he's like, if they succeed, we can survive this war. It's like a last-ditch effort, more or less, to survive.
Right.
So, and at the same time, he's trying not to let Parliament know that he has this team going, because they're not supposed to exist.
Right. Yeah, it's a secret operation. And that was one of the opening bits, is that this is the special ops that existed before special ops kind of thing. So, it's it is potentially, it's more or less a rogue unit, and when that's not cool, when the government, who is in some ways condoning this, is also not condoning it. So, you know, it's like, what's going on? I think Winston Churchill actually was one of the stronger parts of this movie. And
yes,
I did appreciate whenever he came on the scene for sure.
I mean, I was skipping ahead a little bit about heightened tension, but like as far as tension in this movie, like you definitely feel more of the tension with Winston Churchill scenes and with Marjorie Stewart and Heron scenes.
Yeah.
And I think in the case of Winston Churchill, like, you see him under pressure, you see what he's going through, and you kind of see, like, okay, why this mission needs to succeed.
Right.
With Heron and Marjorie Stewart, they're not the... I mean, they are adept fighters, but they're also kind of undercover. So it's almost like you're kind of, like, watching to see if they succeed, whether they can keep their cover while in these a dangerous situation. So there is some tension there, and there is danger clearly to both of them.
And I think you're right. The heightened tension is unique, I think, for this movie compared to maybe other sections of it. And that's maybe what stuck out to me, especially about this compared to other movies, is that this movie has heightened, is very good at raising the stakes, and they would add time pressures, and they would add random grenades into the scenario, if you will, that would say, oh no, this just got worse in this way. And what was interesting to me was that this movie is very good at raising the stakes without actually having anything bad happen yet.
That was the one possible gripe I had, was that I never had a doubt that Henry Cavill's or March's team, Phillips' team, was going to fail. Like, we're never really shown them failing ever once in the movie. So it's almost like they just win. And so they're not, I mean, there is a time crunch, and you do feel that time crunch. But I don't know if I had a whole lot of doubt that they were going to lose. It was just like, okay, you were just curious to see how it played out.
No, and did you say, but you would say, if I understand correctly, is mm-hmm. that you had doubt about whether or not Marjorie and Heron would complete their side of the objectives, but not so much about Henry Cavill's character and their whole team. Is that
yeah.
a correct
understanding? No, I would, for some reason, I think, and maybe it's because when they're showing Cavill, like March's team, they're kind mm-hmm. of shown to be capable, and like they're always like, I mean, they're reckless, but they like, they know what they're doing. They like, and they, when they break Apple Yard out of the compound, like they change the plans on the fly. Like they're supposed to attack mm-hmm. later. They decide, you know what? We're just going to go in now because clearly they're going to move him. They see the trucks coming in, like, oh, they're going to move him today. So now we have to go in now. So they change their plans. They break in without a hitch and they, save their friend and kill all the Nazis in that compound. And yeah. so like, they're just shown to be these survivors and like one man army kind of deal. And it's like, oh, they're, like, we're not really shown a reason like why they would fail per se. With yeah. Stewart, I mean, I guess she is shown to be capable, but it's not like she's shown to be, but she's also got to cover it. Like her goal isn't to like fight her way through this. Like she's supposed to act a certain way and like, convince the head of the, what's the guy, the captains of the one guy's name?
Lair, let me see. I think it's Lair. Let me see. Henrik Lur. Sorry.
Heinrich Lur or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like the head of the Nazi outpost on this island. Like she's supposed to like get close to him and like distract him. And so it's like, can she successfully distract him for the duration of the mission so that they can steal like a car? They can, well, initially is to destroy the boat.
Yeah, actually, that was one of the fun facts about the mission is that as the story progresses, one of the parts of heightened tension is that they heighten the tension by saying, we're going to blow up the boat. And then they find out right before they're supposed to blow up the boat, oh no, the boat's hull has been reinforced, so it can't be blown up with the bombs we currently have. We're going to have to steal it instead, becomes the solution. Mm-hmm. Funny thing is that that actually was the original plan according to the documentation that was revealed in 2016 the whole time. So they never were going to blow up the boat. They were always going to steal the boat according to the true story. But in, as part of the heightening the tension for the sake of us as the audience, they changed it to say we were going to blow it up first and then it turned into stealing it. So I thought that was one of those changes that I was okay with. I know that it's a little bit revisionist, but it shows us, okay, for the sake of telling Capelli's story, that is definitely a place where you raise the stakes because it's harder to steal a boat than it is to blow up a boat. So, you know,
well, this is also a movie where it's like, there's a difference between movies and history where it's like, you can't expect a perfect presentation of history or like a religious document or anything in a movie's like story format. Like, there's going to be creative liberties taken for it to be a compelling story. You can't, like, because if you play things out line by line, according to the original history text, it becomes boring. I'm sorry, it just becomes, it's just a bunch of facts displayed on screen. And sure, it can make a great biography, but it, or like a documentary, but it's like, it doesn't make a very compelling, like, drama or, like, action story if all you're seeing is facts.
Yeah We don't go to watch Henry Cavill play a guy just stealing a boat without a hitch. We go in to see the action scenes and everything that he does as his dramatic effects, you know.
Yeah, if they had done that, the movie would have been a whole lot shorter.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely true. I just thought it was interesting because for me as an audience, right, watching this movie, I recall multiple times going, oh wow, this is like, not sure what's going to happen next. Like, but most of it was Heron going to get caught? Was Marjorie going to get caught? And you are correct that every time we saw March Phillips and his crew on the screen, they always won. They never lost. At the very first scene, we see them succeed when they're trying to break out their friend Appleyard from the his imprisonment. They succeed, and so when they come to take the boat, you have every reason to believe they will also succeed at that, because they haven't really had problems. And that's maybe an indictment, because those are supposedly the main characters of this story, that the main characters don't have a problem this entire movie makes it a little less compelling for sure.
So, I mean, with that being said, the only, like, I guess, even though I say they don't lose, they do encounter hiccups in their plan. Like, clearly, like, the bombs blow up the fuel reserves way too early. Mm-hmm. And also, they had to change their route because they realized the boat was going to get moved sooner. Like, they do encounter hiccups in their plan that forces them to change things. But that's not the same thing as failing or losing. It's not the same thing as... So I guess you could say it's, like, conflict. I don't know. A form of conflict.
I think what was most stood out to me about this movie was the fact that nothing bad actually happened, but I still, as an audience, was invested in seeing the outcome of this movie. I would never say it was one of the best movies I've ever seen, but I would definitely say that I was interested to see the end, at least the first time watching it through, and that's a statement to how they raise the tension. And it's interesting to just think about, okay, they did some of these things very well about raising the tension without actually having something bad happen yet. They just created these other ways to hypothesize bad things are going to happen or things are, could be worse for them. Now, we didn't have bad payoff, like you said. But that I think for people who are writing, right, or people who are telling their own stories, it would be a good example to look at those things and say, okay, these are some good examples of how to compellingly create these obstacles that don't necessarily kill somebody, right? You don't have to have this dramatic actual death scene or someone loses significant documents or whatever. There's other ways to raise the tension for your audience so that they're invested in seeing what happens without actually having a bad thing occur yet. You just infer that something bad is more likely to happen because of what occurred, because of what played out. Anyways, all that to say, heightened tension, somewhat of a mixed bag, but overall some really interesting points there. Worth considering. Don't want to get too far off because we didn't talk about the villain yet, and I thought the villain is definitely worth at least having a mention of. What were your thoughts on Heinrich Lehr?
I mean, in some ways, he felt like a stock villain in some ways, but I mean, the only thing that, like, or given to, like, fear him, like, okay, he's clearly something to be, like, taken seriously. He has this fetish for hurting, like, inferior races or, like, you know, like, whether they be black people or the Jews or whatever. Like, he clearly has, like, this, he's bought into the whole Nazi idea of, like, the superior race, and it shows in his actions and what he likes to do, in private. He had some interesting scenes. I mean, he wasn't like not developed, but he did feel like a stock villain in some scenes. Like, he just felt like your typical, like, Nazi, like, general bad guy who we need to stop. So,
yeah.
Now, with that being said, he does, like, because of who he is, what he stands, he does, like, he's part of the reason why the scenes with Marjorie are more interesting in some regards, because clearly he wants things and he has the idea, like, oh, what, he, like, we're shown what he likes to do. So, like, when we see her in danger, like, where he suggests things, like, we kind of feel the tension in those scenes. Like, okay, what's going to, what, how is she going to respond to that? What's going to happen? So, I mean, so it's not like he was a total, like, undeveloped villain, but he was stock in some ways.
And when you're looking at this villain, I would agree. He felt like a classic stock villain in a lot of ways. But when you said that there's a couple scenes that really resonated with me, there was a couple scenes with this villain. Good night. There was a couple scenes with this villain that were really interesting. When you said that, that resonated with me. The villain did not resonate with me, but
I was about to say, wait, what?
Yeah, that's not good. He did not resonate with me at all. I will be on record saying that. But when you said that he had some interesting aspects to him, I understood that. What did you mean, just so we're on the same page there?
Clearly he's smart. He's not, like, stupid, where it's like he has, like, he runs things well and he's, like, paying attention. So it's not like he's, he's not stupid. He clearly has, like, and he has things under control for the most part of the movie, like with his men, he has an organization, like he has things very organized. So it's not like, oh, it's going to be easy to exploit him. It's like, there's a reason why Marjorie has to come in and distract him, because otherwise, if he's paying attention, he'll see pretty quickly that something's wrong. Mm-hmm. So she has, like, there's a clear reason why she needs to do this, why she needs to be involved and, like, get his attention. But at the same time, because of who he is, like, clearly he has a thing for hurting others and, like, these... And it's implied that he has, like, these sexual proclivities as well. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, there's these things that's, like, okay, she's clearly putting herself in danger by interacting with him. Because, like, right. if he finds out about her Jewish history, she's dead. And at the same time, if she continues, like, depending on how she acts in front of him, she could still get hurt or get, like, there are other things that could still happen. And it's, like, okay, she's walking a very fine line here.
No, when you definitely see that he has a utter hatred for Jews, you see that that raises the stakes for her as a character, because not only is her the risk of her cover being blown already has some ramifications, but when you realize that he has this utter hatred for this race of people, that plays into how he's going to treat her if she gets caught. And it's going to get 10 times worse than it probably... I mean, it probably would be worse if her cover was blown, but it's going to be even worse than that just because of her Jewish heritage. So they did well at stacking some things, especially in regards to her arc, and that's a perfect example of that. You mentioned themes just briefly earlier on, and I just wanted to retouch on that, and maybe messages as well, too, might be appropriate here. Did you think that there was any themes or messages in the story that are worth mentioning or really brought you...
There's not really a whole... Like, not really any themes or anything you can point to. Like, this really felt like your standard action movie with zero substance. I don't know. It's like, mm-hmm. there's... It's like there's... We're given a historical setting. We're given, like, this team of characters... We're given all these great action sequences that are very well done. Some of them are very entertaining and some of them are hilarious. But it's just like, it's, I don't know, like there's no like actual like ideals are at stake. There's no like, I mean, aside from Nazis versus the Allies kind of thing, mm-hmm. it's just like, okay. And it's a very loose themes in that regard then. Because it's like, okay, this is just your generic World War II conflict. Like, not like, racism of the Nazis versus the the unification of the Allies. I don't know. It's like you have like that's your standard conflict then. That's your ideals at play, but it's very loose and very vague. It's not it's clearly just your standard action romp.
Yeah, it's definitely there's definitely some aspects of it being vague and not clear. Would you say then that anything that was developed, such as the Nazis versus the Allied powers, wasn't developed well in the screen time that we had?
Not that it wasn't developed well, because I mean, clearly you know who's on which side. I mean, it's sure. just... I mean, I guess it's not the main point, I guess. Maybe that's it. Just, like, clearly this mission is the main point, and, like, mm-hmm. whether they win or fail. I guess I just, based on how it was all presented, I fail to see how them winning or failing this mission presented a conflict of ideals, I guess. Like, it wasn't mm-hmm. clearly, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe, I guess, maybe you can make the argument for hope versus hopelessness or something, because, like, clearly they will, if they lost, they would have lost the war, they would have been taken over by Germany, right? I guess. Like, so the mission was kind of symbolic of some hope, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's funny because, and hopefully the audience will see this soon. We recently will, if you look at the movie The Lighthouse, which is a recent, will soon be a release on this podcast, The Lighthouse is one that is very full of symbolism and very full of these ideas of what this means or that means or whatever to an excessive degree. And this is the complete opposite of that, where this yes. movie has little to no symbolism in it at all. And what you do see is pretty stock basic, something about patriotism, maybe, right? Or, you know, staying true to yourself or your friends, maybe, like, if you want to make the argument for that, I don't know. It's not really developed, and you see the Allied versus the Axis powers as the only thing that you really see as an idea, and it's not really embodied in anyone or shown to mean anything to anyone in any significant way. It's the simple, we're at war and we're fighting these people, and just accept that and say that that's a good cause to fight for. And I think there's that can be explored in a war movie, and so it's a bit of a shame that they didn't even explore that. Because clearly, Churchill, right, believes he's on the right side. He believes that what he's fighting for is for the good of all of England, and that not giving in to Germany is the right thing to do. And I think that could be a worthy topic to consider, especially when he's going head-to-head with his cabinet, who are questioning every move that he makes. But they don't really do that. And so we know that these definitely were discussion points that are to be had, because they were had during World War II, that there was a lot of question and doubt that went on about what should be done and when should people give in and simply acquiesce to the demands of Germany during the war. And Churchill gave speeches, you know, there was all sorts of things that went on to say that we need to continue this fight. And he was very strong on what ought the country to do. And so themes could have been a strong element of this, and they just didn't do anything with it. So a shame, in my opinion. Yeah. But of course, that's why you're listening, right? Because you want my opinion. So here we are.
Yeah, just your opinion.
Yeah. Well, I like other people's opinions too. That's why I bring them on, and then I just say they're wrong. So the hero that you think about. Sorry, I had to give myself that plug. Obviously, I'm not always correct, but that's why you listen to the podcast, because you have these different opinions and then come to your own conclusion as an intelligent individual. All right.
You're the hero... all individuals.
Individuals. Yes. Is there a big revelation in this movie?
You know, what's funny is, like, when I wrote my review, like, I said, not really, unless you count the hole being reinforced as a possible big revelation. But now that I'm thinking about it, I guess there was the reveal of a mole in Winston Churchill's cabinet, like his like special group. That was kind of a big deal, where it's like, that's how Parliament, like some of the people in Parliament found out about this mission. And like, they confront him, and they try to get the mission to stop. But then, of course, Marsh Phillips pretends there's a static or something wrong with the radio signal, so he like essentially just cuts off the radio so they don't get any more information. So it literally leaves the Parliament and like they can't do anything to stop them now.
Yeah. And that so, was a funny scene as well, where
it was a funny scene. Yes,
he says
but it also like changes what's the playing field now, because it reveals that now Winston Churchill's no longer in the dark. Like some people know what's going on.
Right. And his little arc, which wasn't a huge part of the story, but was a relevant part of the story, is Churchill no longer has any leeway to say, oh, I didn't know, because now they see clearly that he was involved in this whole operation, and his entire platform more or less rides or dies based off of the success of this mission. So it gives the golden key to March Phillips and his crew and says, succeed, otherwise I'm out. And if he's out, the movie implies that England is done. They're giving in to Germany. So it is a significant deal. You're right. I didn't even think about that. I was thinking of the reinforced hole, and I thought it was significant enough that I put it down just because...
Yeah, well, no, I did too. I put it down, but I just literally thought too, like a minute ago, like, wait a minute. Like, there was something else. I just didn't remember till now.
Yeah, and that's fair, so, because Churchill's...
And maybe I didn't think of it first because it wasn't involving the main characters. It involved the side characters. But it did have an impact on the story and the stakes and on what was going on, so...
Yeah. What's interesting, just reflecting on this as we discuss, that the main character of March Phillips is clearly portrayed as the main character, him and his crew. But at the same time, some of the most interesting stuff that happens in this movie has nothing or very little to do with him and has more to do with the other people involved.
As far as actual storytelling merit, nothing of like major importance seems to happen with this character aside from the mission, of Marsh Phillips' character. Everything happens with Churchill and some of these side characters.
Yeah.
Like, all of the fun action scenes, they're with the main character, like...
Yeah, yeah. That's true. He has a lot of fun. Yeah, I do want to note that the reinforcement of the whole does change completely how they plan to use their tactics, which is why it was pretty significant, because it changes their entire plan. It's a little cheated just because everything goes off without a hitch, but
yes,
in a normal situation like that, I do think that's a pretty significant revelation and does have significant impacts on the story. So it's worth noting. I don't think the movie has a surprise ending, unless you have something that comes to mind to yourself.
The only thing I could think of that might somewhat count as a surprise ending, but even then it's not really that much of a surprise, is like, at the very end, when they're arrested by Britain, like, they're not actually put in prison, because Churchill then creates a special group, forces group, out of them for the remainder of the war to, like, help the Allies win against Germany.
Yeah.
Kind of a surprise ending, but it wasn't, like, I don't know. It just felt very little of writing on it, I felt. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they gave a very Winston Churchill type speech where he calls them the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare and creates his own crew of people that are going to now be directly under him, right? And that was it was a great scene, and it was surprising that he creates this whole group that's specifically underneath him, but you're not really expecting that they're going to stay in prison after having done such a successful honorable deed by saving their country from the German U-boats, because the German U-boats now can't be fueled up by this tanker.
Yeah.
So
essentially, they've given the Allies time to take control of the Atlantic and to get supplies from the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. So. Now you want to talk about any transformations or messages in the story?
Not really. I mean, we kind of already touched on this, but it's just like, I mean, the main character doesn't really change, not really. There isn't really a whole lot of messages that are clearly spelled out or even, like, implied.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, because that wasn't the focus of this movie. Like, the focus of this movie was this... I mean, it was... this whole movie, the point, I felt, was to create a historical, like, Guardians of the Galaxy-esque group. And it just was like, so I create like a historical version of that, like taking an actual event and like show like, oh, this happened. And
yeah,
like let's show a heist of a sort in during World War II.
And that's interesting. I haven't, and I don't know if this is worth reflecting on too much, but it is interesting to see that Guardians of the Galaxy as a group, I don't want to say, well, I guess it's a template of what we've seen in a couple movies now since then, where Guardians of the Galaxy did pretty well. And you saw a funny group of crew that had their own set of humor, but at the same time, it was a somewhat serious environment they were working in. And so this clash of humor with this serious story played out on the big screen, and people said, wow, we really like that. And then a bunch of filmmakers decided, yes, let's do that too. And then you have some sort of, well, I guess this is James Gunn still, but the Suicide Squad, or you have the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, or other things like that. I'm sure more thoughts could come to mind if I thought about it for a couple more seconds. But I have seen more of these types of movies where the crew is supposed to have this humor combined with a serious note, and I don't know that anyone has pulled it off to the same degree that Guardians did. But
The other thing about Guardians of the Galaxy, if you're going to look at Guardians of the Galaxy as a success, I mean, the reality is Guardians of the Galaxy actually had themes and a message to it.
Absolutely.
Like, there was actual, like, character development and stakes. And so, like, they did everything right, and that's why it was, like, such a success. It was the humor, and there was, like, serious world and all this other stuff, as you said, but there was also like depth to these characters, and there was an actual conflict and actual like ideas and ideals on display. And it wasn't like, which is not what you get here.
Yeah.
It's all the other stuff without the ideals and such. It's junk food. It's a junk food action movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's still fun. It is fun. It's just, will it be memorable? I don't think so.
Yeah, it definitely. That's a good way to put it. I think that, that's so interesting that it is junk food, but Guardians hit all these things right. Right. The 9-point system that we talk about, if you reflect that, you're going to see to some degree pretty high marks on most of the points across the board. And if you want to see our full review of that, granted this was before the 9-point system was fully fleshed out, but you can check out our review early on when we reviewed Guardians of the Galaxy, and then reflect that with what we have going on here, which is very different, where they have good marks on one or two areas in this movie, but it's not the same degree where they tried to make sure that they hit having good transformation and character development, right? Having that heightened tension and bringing people in and having them caught and engaged by what's going to happen next, because there truly is danger to the characters, or having compelling motives for the protagonist, a compelling villain, a compelling main character and side characters, and having a believable setting. You know, all of these things are important. And yes, it's complex. Yes, it's a lot of things to keep in mind, but that's the point. You have to create a believable world with real characters, with believable reasons for why they're involved, and have the stakes be high. That's your responsibility as a writer. Bam. There you go. And they didn't do it this time. Bummer. Sucks for them. The movie did not have a message in my mind. I don't think the movie had a message in your mind, but you want to take a shot at it anyways?
This is my third time going about this, but okay. No, I don't want to.
All right. Just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything there. We're coming close to the end, so wanted to give you a final chance to say your piece.
I'm not going to change my mind in 5 minutes. Not on this.
Okay, all right. Is the setting believable? And how
if you want me to change my mind, give me a compelling argument.
No. I'll give that for a different movie. If you want to hear an argument, listen to our review of The Lighthouse, which is coming out in a couple weeks. We recorded that one the other day. It was not as pressing as this one because this one just came out. So you'll see this first. That being said, if you've watched The Lighthouse, you know why. There was a contentious discussion there. Is the setting believable, and did the movie leave you satisfied? We're right at the end here.
Well, I'll say, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'll say the setting is mostly believable because it is a historical world setting during World War II. It's not like they were like, breaking the rules of physics or something. Like, it's a fun action movie, so it's not like you're kind of suspending disbelief in that regards because of the action. I don't know. It's not like anything pulls you out of the movie completely because the setting isn't believable. Maybe a few little things, if you dig deep enough, would be like, wait a minute, why is this the case? But
yeah.
And as far as did it leave me satisfied? The movie itself kind of left me satisfied only because I wasn't expecting much from it.
My standards were way down here, and they met that.
Yeah. I was like, okay, this was an action movie. Yeah, we had a...
True. I mean, honestly, for myself, the setting was pretty much believable. There was... The only thing that I was like, this is not believable, is no one really died. Someone got injured from the firefighting, but everything worked perfectly according to plan. And for the ending, the mission goes completed, right? Everyone goes the way they ought. It was too clean in some ways, where Marjorie shoots the bad guy in the forehead as he's trying to... capture her, and Heron gets away, and the whole team gets away, and someone gets, you know, shot in the shoulder, I believe, but overall, everyone's good, you know, where they killed hundreds, if not thousands, of Nazis in the process of this bloodbath. It's a bit excessive on the other side, and definitely tilted in favor of the protagonists and his crew. So, that in and of itself might be an indictment of the story, because if anything, it should be tilted the other way and make it less likely they will succeed. But, you know, overall, yeah. I was pretty satisfied with the ending. I didn't feel like it was terrible. Like I said, that ending with Churchill, great speech, right? Nice flavor to leave on your tongue as you walk out of the theater. And the movie ends solidly. It's just nothing that you're going to write home about, right? You're not going to be thinking about the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you know, whereas I will be thinking about Rome in 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years, and Gladiator, and Lord of the Rings, the Return of the King, and Inception.
Maybe, yeah.
I will be. I guarantee it.
Or will you?
Unless I have dementia, in which case I can just enjoy those movies all over again for the first time. And so,
the only way you'll be thinking about the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare again is when the sequel comes out.
Oh gosh, what would the sequel? I guess like they did go on other missions, right? And so what I did read was that while the events of this heist, more or less, did not occur as they said, right? According to the official documentation, they got out with the boat without much of a hitch at all. There wasn't this whole firefight and whatnot that you see in the movies. But there were other firefights they had in the course of their encounters that were pretty contentious, and they made it out of those alive. And so there was some inspiration from other combats that they experienced as a team. So I guess they could have a after story or a sequel. I probably won't watch it unless it's to review it for this podcast. Because I don't expect a lot. So, and that's not what you should expect either.
Yeah.
And that's what we got. That's all we got. That is the pod. We will be back, as always, next week. Will next week be the lighthouse? We'll have to see. So you'll just have to come back and see us all then.